Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are the singer-songwriting duo Burns and Christie. Terry Burns is a former staff writer for several publishing houses, including EMI Publishing and MCA Universal. Her songs have been recorded by many artists, including David Kirsch, River Road, and the Burns Sisters. Terry is, of course, a member of the storied Burns family and recorded several CDs while in her early 20s with the Burns Sisters. She also recorded a solo CD called Terry Burns several years ago. And Ron Christie has been composing music for film and TV for many years. His work has been featured on HBO's Inside the NFL, 2020, Fox Sports, and Dancing with the Stars. He has also composed award-winning music scores for Discovery Channel and PBS. He is a former staff writer at Warner Chappell Music in New York. Burns and Christie's debut CD, Caravan, will be released early this summer. Welcome to the show to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you both come from an entirely different world, so tell us a little bit about how you met.
I was invited to a cookout by a sort of a new friend at the time in Nashville, and I was there, and he was there, and we just started a friendship, you know. It was
You didn't know when you first met that you were both music people, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew by the end of the party, we knew because we had sung together at that party. Yeah. We had.
And was this about 8 or 9 years ago?
Something like that, yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that went by fast.
So you remember when you guys met too, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was Terry sang If I Were the Wind at that party, which is from her first CD. And I just thought, well, she's pretty beautiful and she can sing, and
I'll wait
for her after the party, which is what I did.
You know? And the party's been going on for almost 9 years now. That's
great.
Yeah.
We didn't date right away, but
yeah,
he knew right away. I took a little time.
Well, that makes sense.
Which is good, because then I really knew.
Yeah, exactly. did you find, once you did discover that you had music in common, did you find that your approaches were entirely different in regard to music? You were a composer, Ron, and, and you were, I don't know if you call yourself a folk singer, but you came from those kinds of roots.
Well, actually, I'm more of a pop country folk person, you know, a real combination. I'm a mutt, you might say. I'm a mutt. So, yeah, even musicals, so. Our approach is different? I don't know. I mean, you really are in the composing thing, but he's a very good songwriter, so I don't know.
Yeah. I was just wondering where you found common ground, you know, to start forming this Burns and Christie duo.
You know, we love each other's music. If I hear a great song, I love producing it, getting the parts together for it. And so that's how it actually started, when we did a couple of concerts there at the Bluebird.
In the Round.
In the Round in Nashville. And it was a lot of fun. We said, well, let's keep playing together. And
yeah, we'd sing at parties. We had no intention of creating a duo. It just sort of naturally evolved, you know what I mean, over time. At one point, we just knew, we're going to have to do this. And it's great because
a chance to explore. And, you know, a lot of people meet that way. They sing at parties.
Yeah.
And often nothing comes of it, but it's fun. So this is really interesting that you're actually creating something. You know, I want to ask you, too. You say in your biography that one motivation was to promote peace, love, and healing.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that and how you think music does that.
Okay. This is my own personal feeling that a lot of music has so much possibility, as opposed to being a hit and being a star and that whole glamorous or semi, you know, that supposedly glamorous thing. Music is something that for, you know, thousands of years has been the
It's a place of common ground, too, right, for people. Yeah.
And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way that people can feel deep feelings and realize their commonality, realize, you know, that we all love, even if we don't understand the lyrics in a different language, the music. I know for me, sometimes the music just, I love the song.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they're saying something cool, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Terry? You seem to be on the spiritual side. A lot of your songs invoke that kind of a feeling.
Yeah. Whatever I write, I just write out of what's happening in my life. And, you know, the thing we wrote, that our intention, like when we first met, just as friends, we're like sitting on his porch talking, and we were saying like our experience in the music company, we're just feeling like we're not really doing exactly what we want to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like the thing that was bringing us the most joy in life is children, is stressing us out the most. And you know what I mean? So now we just want to, and you know, whatever's on this record, which some people say, God, I just get so calm when I hear it, and they dance to it. We don't put people to sleep. But I just feel like music does have the capacity to, just like it can make you dance, it can calm you down, it can get you in the present moment, it can help you feel your own grief, or, you know, give you inspiration to follow your dream, you know.
No, historically, I've seen music bring people together, you know. During hard times, Joan Baez used to come and sing in San Francisco when there were riots. And, you know, and it's a calming force that does bring people into their humanity in some ways. Now, you talked about how the music business in Nashville became... You became wary of it because of, you know, you said it was ambition and desperation that was part of the scene. So that's something you wanted to get away from, right? And so you're doing this in a different manner. Tell us.
Well, you know, Nashville, we have so many dear friends in Nashville. I think what happens is that there are so many people coming to this, to Nashville or L.A., wanting to get the hit record, wanting to have one of the few cuts, and it's really... becomes, there's a lot of grief involved. There's a lot of rejection involved in it, you know. And I thought that music is supposed to be, for me, always like a joyous affair, something that you just love doing. And, you know, for example, in Ithaca, people, I find that there are wonderful musicians here. People just write and sing out of the love of music, out of the love of their hearts. So they just want to sing and play with each other. And so that's where we wanted to come from. That's where I felt.
Did you feel alienated, Terry, in Nashville? I know you're from the Binghamton, Ithaca area.
Yeah. Did I feel alienated there?
Yeah. Did you feel that strange desperation and what Ron was talking about?
There was a lot of really great stuff about Nashville, but then it just sort of like lost its... I felt like... I knew who was behind that curtain, you know, and it was a guy putting a big fit, you know. It had lost its magic for me, and it did, you know, sort of like what happened on Wall Street happened on Music Row years before, and there was a lot of sadness that people weren't really talking about. For me, that's how I saw it, like, and just these incredibly talented people who put everything into this work, and then the whole music industry was circling the drain, sort of, you know, it was hard to be around all the time and everyone trying to be their best, you know. And
I mean, I'm sure there is a lot of sadness and there's a lot of disappointment anytime you go into the arts.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, you know, I still love so many people there, so I don't want to say like it's a bad place or anything, but, you know, it was an interesting time to be there, you know. But I just was done. I sort of feel like it was my college. It was like I went to college and I don't want to like go back to where I really want to live, you know. I kept visiting here. It's like, how about if I live here and visit Nashville? And so that's what I do now, and I go
it's
on the
It's probably
right.
much better for your soul, it sounds like. It
yeah, and
is.
I still have a lot of fond feelings there. I just don't want it to be my residents.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, I want to play an excerpt from your forthcoming CD called Caravan. This one's called Everything, and this is one that you wrote with several other people, correct? Tell us about it.
Well, two of my main co-writers is Pam Rose and Kathy Majeski. They're dear friends, and we wrote together regularly, and now we're doing it again long distance. You know, I go down there, and, you know, it's a three-way, but it's just a magical trio there. That I find it magical anyway. And
tell us what Everything's about.
Everything, well, you know, it just came out of us sort of jamming, and then these lyrics pop out of my mouth. But it can be about, you know, the listener can decide, because it's more of a poetic song. And to me, it's about when I am awake, when I am present, I see God in everything. I see God in the sorrow, and I see God in the joy. But it's sort of like a Rumi-esque kind of, I thought of Rumi later, not on it. But I wasn't ripping off Rumi, is what I'm telling you here. He's going to haunt me or something. But anyway, so that's what it's about. I don't always live that way every second, but when I'm awake. And so now if I hear the song, I remember to, you know, say, I see God here, you know.
Well, let's listen to a little excerpt from it.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful song. I think it's a really gorgeous song.
Thank you. Ron did a great job producing it, didn't he?
It's very poetic. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to talk to you, too, because you do come from different genres of the music business. How do you approach songwriting together? I know you've done a few together.
We're just...
I mean, does Terry present the lyrics and you start thinking, or do you do it together?
Well,
how do you do
well,
that?
Well, what's interesting, to tell you the truth, we haven't written that much together. We've only written a little bit, and it's because we do so much together. We raise children and take care of the house and take out the garbage, and we do a band, and we do this, you know, and we do everything
so you do
together.
So the songwriting is in some way separate, right? But you bring it together to produce
Yeah, but
it.
I mean, he produced all my songs in this record, and he killed it. You know what I mean? So we're bringing in our strengths, but we do want to write more together. We're starting to write more and more. It's just that sometimes I need to, like, block out that writing time, and if I look at him, I'm like, wait, this is when I'm home, because you're here. You know what I mean? I just haven't... We didn't meet each other that way. We didn't meet each other through writing.
No, I understand that. Uh-huh.
But we have a couple things in the oven right now. Not my belly, though. Yeah. Just
But you are doing... I mean, this is a duo, so you're obviously, you know, you're doing harmony on some of her...
Oh, God.
Is that a struggle for you to do that? Because you both come from independent places.
Oh, no.
No,
not for me.
It just falls into place, huh?
That's the part we love most, is, I think, just getting in the studio, and then, you know, it becomes a separate thing. It becomes a part of me and part of Terry, and then it takes on its a whole new quality and a whole new character, and it's really a wonderful thing.
We both tend to have the same, oh, yeah, I like that note, or we both, it's not like, I like it better this way, and I like it, it's like we seem to really agree and raise each other up instead of pull each other down kind of thing, so that's really good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people come to these kinds of things with different ideas, but, you know, if you have the same kind of feeling about how you want something to exist in the world, it's a different...
Yeah.
And one thing that's great about being married to Ron, and there are many of them, and having a duo with him is I know he's going to tell me the truth. You know what I mean? And he knows I'm going to tell him the truth. And sometimes it's hard to hear. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's hard to say. Like, he'll go, what do you think of this? And I either go, oh, my God, I love it. Like, I'm like, I can't believe you wrote that without me. And I could have written it with you. You know, like, the caravan, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, my God, you know? So anyway, he wrote it by himself. But, you know, there have been things he said to me, and I go, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and I'll just tell him the truth. You know what I mean? I'll go, okay. And I go, you always know, I'll tell you, you know? So that's a good thing. And I know he'll tell me.
And I go to Tijuana for 3 days, and then I come back, I'm okay.
That's right. I call his girlfriend, and everything's fine.
Well, has the fact that you guys have come together as a duo from separate worlds, has it changed you as writers and musicians? I mean, you were writing songs for other people and for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You were composing music for, you know, specific things. Has coming together changed the way you even approach songwriting? Are you writing more spiritual stuff? Are you writing more love songs, that kind of thing?
I know I'm writing more on the guitar, which is a whole different feeling.
Ah.
I used to compose on piano, and I think maybe I've gotten to where I'm simplifying things more. I guess that would be my thing, you know.
Hmm.
How about you? Have you...
Have I changed the way I write?
The way you approach what you want to say in some ways. Is it gotten deeper? Has it...
Before I met him, I'm just in a happier place. Of course, I know you're going to play this one song that has a sense of sadness to it later, but... I can call on feelings that I've had before to write sad things. You know what I mean? Because I had plenty of sad things.
And you're looking for the universal, too,
in order to communicate with people. But I'm very happy right now. I'm fulfilled in my life. So in that way, I probably just approach everything from, you know, we talked about that desperate thing. My whole life, I think it's my age. I think being older is really good because I'm in the now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm not so like, this
has
to happen for me to be happy. No, it doesn't have to happen.
Yeah. Well, I want to play another cut from the forthcoming Caravan. This one's called Blue Paper Boat, and you guys have a video for this song. And tell us about this song. This is a really fascinating song, too.
Blue Paper Boat, another song I wrote with Kathy and Pam, my little trio there. Well, I can't say who in the writing session. It wasn't me, but they were just they told a story about something they were going through, and then the next day, you know, what happens is they're both amazing guitar players. They'll just start jamming, and then I'll just start singing these words, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So we didn't even know exactly what it was going to be about. I just started going, give me one good reason. You know, I just, we didn't have a plan.
So
it really
sort of
came out.
Spontaneously came out.
Yeah, well, I mean, over time, but, you know.
Let's just listen to a little bit of it.
Oh, okay.
Great. It's amazing how high you can get your voice to go.
Oh.
It's very pretty. I mean, you sound like a soprano, and you don't always. Sometimes there's that little huskiness in your voice.
Yeah, yeah. It was nice to have an opportunity to sing up there. Yeah. Now I'm wanting to do more up there. You know,
you?
I'm like, I want to do more of that, you know, because, you know, I have to have the right microphone and everything, you know what I mean? Like,
Ron, tell us what it's like to produce this song, because, I mean, and also tell us how it turned into a video. Why did you choose this particular one?
Well, producing it was a process of, actually, it's, the whole song is kind of about letting go. I would put parts on and then let them go and say, that's too much, because her voice and those guitars were so beautiful that it was nice just to add a few little things to it. You know, I put the piano on and some pad-like sound.
I do want to add that the guitars, which are so beautiful on that, Pam and Kathy put those guitars, like the day after we wrote it, I was in Nashville, and they go, well, let's just put the guitars down because Pam is going to put it on her record too.
Ah.
And so, and then she let me use the guitars, which was very nice. You can go to pamrose.com, by the way. She's fabulous. And so it was really nice to be able to have them actually play on it, you know, because you really get the feeling from exactly when we wrote it, you know. That was great. And then he added everything.
Oh, it's a wonderful piece. Now, you were also talking in your bio about how the music business has changed. So how does one get the word out about music now that big companies aren't promoting you? How do you approach that?
I think we're learning about that as we go. We're at that place right now. We're just finishing our CD. And to me, you know, I know sometimes I sound like, I don't know what you call it, but I think you do what you do out of love, and then somehow, as opposed to, I think I was talking about how there's so much on the net now about marketing.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just, and you know, I'm a musician. I don't really want to get into the whole thing of how do I get more traffic to my website, and so I do this and, you know, do that, and it's like...
Is it still important, though, to get airplay in order to get your work out there, or are there so many other vehicles now, like the net?
Yeah, I think
YouTube,
you have to do both. Like, as much as we don't want to be that person, we're going to have to put that hat on until, if we ever get to a place where we can hire somebody, which, if there's any intern out there in Ithaca that would like to call us, please go to our website and help us, please. But anyway, so we can hire someone to do it, you know, we're just going to have to do it and just keep putting it out places. Like, Ron goes, oh, here's a song contest, and he just sent in Blue Paper Boat, and we came in like third.
Yeah, tell us about that. That song ended up winning some kind of an award. Tell us.
Uh-huh. The International Acoustic Music Awards. We came in third place, but there were like 12,000 people.
God,
songs.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, though? Yeah. I mean, is it going to get airplay because of that? Is it going to go on to another
you know,
life?
It's helpful. It's helpful in the sense that wherever we're sending it now, it says, you know, this was an award-winning song, and people listen to it. And we're just now, looking into getting it on. It's taken a while because we've both had the throat stuff to finish the CD. Once it's finished, then we can take the next step, get it on Pandora, and also send it around to various places and have it playing.
What you asked whether it was helpful. I think what it helps with is there's just so much music on the net. You know what I mean? And there's someone wrote some little song. They've never written a song in their life. It helps sift through it. You know what I mean? We've sifted through all these songs and this is what we came up with. You know what I mean? And so that's good. I mean, I never really was into that kind of stuff. But now these days, I think you kind of just have to do whatever you can.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're just joining me, my guests are Burns and Christie. They're singer-songwriters and they have a new CD coming out this summer called Caravan. And that's what we're going to be featuring and talking about through the rest of this interview. Now you guys both seem to love to share with people and connect with people. Does that make it hard to be doing something in the studio? Is it an entirely different feeling? Do you have to get yourself in the mood?
Not me. I love it.
Well, you're more used to it, right?
Yeah, he lives
what
yeah.
I do all the time,
Yeah.
Whether I'm scoring stuff I love recording something and
perfecting it, huh?
Perfecting it. We like playing and connecting with people live, too. That's kind of...
Yeah.
That's an incredibly fun thing to do.
And that must change the flavor of the song, too.
When you do it in the studio.
And when you're doing it in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
Entirely
you know, sometimes you can't hire as many musicians as you want, or, things turn into a guitar vocal, which is a beautiful thing in itself. A lot of times when I record, I just pretend there's people. I just pretend I'm talking to a person. Like, I can be more intimate with the song because I can... sort of go there in my head, whatever I need to.
Is that a different experience for you, though, to do live? Because you've come from being a composer in a studio and having people tell you what to do in many ways.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be like a rock star?
when I was younger, I did.
And Terry's going, yes.
I did. Oh, that was my dream, growing up on Long Island, and then I was always in rock bands. And then one day... I don't know if you remember the Chambers Brothers.
Oh, I do.
Well, they came out and saw us, and they said, man, you guys are good. And I was 18, and I thought, well, we did a record in which they totally changed the sound of the band, and we split up after that. But for a while there, I was certain that I was, we were going to be the next Beatles, And I felt pretty good,
I'm Mary Jo.
So you put that on hold for all these years, and you're reliving an adolescent dream now, right?
Oh, I can't tell you how. It's true that sometimes, this is kind of a real beautiful part of my life with Noah, and all these things.
For our listeners, Terry and Ron have a 7-year-old son.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful little boy.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sure he's
going to
be a singer and a musician, too.
Oh,
I don't think he's going to have a choice.
Dental school would be good. Really.
Yeah.
So this is a dream of yours
to
actually perform in this manner instead of as a composer behind the scenes.
And it's lovely now to feel kind of... I've been through many things in my life. I feel self-confident. I feel okay about being up there and singing.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was 19... I was sure that, everybody's looking at me and there's got to be something wrong,
Now we don't care.
See, I think that's so interesting. We expect our rock stars to be kids, and the people who really have something to say and are comfortable role models are the older ones, and we say, you're too old to be a rock star now.
Right,
Isn't that true?
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so we're going to change that paradigm right here.
It's being changed all over, and it is. Sometimes I do go, is this completely silly,
No.
But I don't. That thought lasts for maybe a nanosecond. I'm like, this is who we are. This is what we're doing. And we're living in a completely different time.
Oh, absolutely. There are people who are singing solo in their 90s down in New York at Carlisle's and some of those clubs.
Oh, that's cool.
This is definitely...
And we're only 89.
Yeah. I know. You guys have a couple of good years.
Right. So, we're good.
I want to play another excerpt from Caravan. This one is called Caravan, and this is one that you wrote, Ron. Tell us a little bit about it.
I just sit down and write whatever I'm feeling. I don't even know how it came about, The whole idea of Caravan is... really just talking about how we are all one, and that's really what I think music does,
Well, let's listen to a little bit of it.
This life is sacred, every step, every heartbeat, every breath. It's really a pretty song, and I love the harmonies that you guys do.
Thank you.
Did you want to sing it? Were you jealous that he was going to be the lead singer on
it? Oh, no. I'm like going, please sing more leads. That's what I'm usually feeling. So, because I don't feel
really
like
a pretty, it's a
lead
haunting
hog.
Song. It's a very haunting song.
Thank you.
Is it one of those songs, like I've talked to many poets, and did it just come to you from the unconscious, or is it one of those that was more deliberate?
No, it came to me. It really did, and probably within a couple of days, the whole song was written.
Oh, it's a beauty. Well, you know, we only have a couple minutes left. Tell us about the CD. When's it coming out?
Okay.
Are you going to debut it somewhere? Talk to us.
Well, it was supposed to come out the 28th, but we all got like a 5 or 6 week laryngitis thing going that I'm still recovering from. Hear it when I sing, which I'm not going to do today. It's coming out either in May or June, and if you go to our website, we will probably within the next week have an actual time and place where we're going to have like a party, a celebration.
To give them your website.
We are at www.burnsandchristy, B-U-R-N-S, and Christy with a K, K-R-I-S-T-Y.com. Burnsandchristy.com.
And you will find them. That's how I found them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Facebook, too.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to both of you. This is going to be a wonderful CD. I'm convinced of it, and I can't wait till it comes out. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.